Well, today, I think most of you know, we've been announcing it for a couple of Sundays now, but I am really, really excited about this. We have just been praying and talking to the Lord for a while now about a youth pastor, and we've had really specific requirements, a real high standard, as you know, and I wasn't sure. I was prepared for it to take a year or longer to find the right person that God would lead us to. And I really believe that God's led us to just exactly the right man, the right family. And so this is kind of the final stage. They were here for the harvest party, and so a number of you got to meet them. And so we've had lunch with them and talked on the phone and email and everything. And I'm just really excited about what I think God's going to do. And so this is sort of the final step of it, though. I asked Jamie and Rachel to come and share their testimonies with all of you. And so I'm going to turn the service over to them here in just a moment. And then they're going to say hi kind of in the main service, but we're recording this, both the video and the audio. So anybody that asks that missed it comes at 10:30, then we'll make sure we get them a copy of this. And then there'll be a meeting after church at 1 o'clock just with me, so that if any of you have any questions about sort of what leadership is thinking or what I'm thinking about this or what the plans are, I want you to be able to come and just ask those questions. And we're not going to grill them, amen. Just say amen to that. I don't know, maybe nobody will show up to that meeting. That's okay. But at 1 o'clock, any questions you have, I'll be available to do that, some special time. But this is a really sweet family. And I just think that God is already just at work to stitch them together here. You know, we don't really believe in hired guns around here. Just say amen. We believe in family. And I just, it's exciting to me to see God start to work just to kind of put a family together. Without further preamble, I'll just kind of introduce Jamie, but if you just help me make him feel really welcome here this morning.
This is my wife, Rachel. I'm Jamie, as you can see. The little guy with the curly hair, that's Kyrie. He'll be running around. He's a bit energetic, but he's awesome. And the older one is Army. Kind of got funky names. You can ask us about those later if you'd like.
That picture was taken last Easter, so they might look a little older. But yeah. That's roughly what they look like.
Everyone changes hairstyle, right? So, yeah. So, firstly, yeah, really thankful to even be here this morning. Awesome, awesome place. Fantastic kind of family community. We're just really... really blessed by you guys already. So thank you for your welcome. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for everything you've done for us so far. We can't wait to get stuck into what's happening here and what God's doing. Really can't wait to get working. So a little kind of introduction to us then. We've been married a solid, coming up to, well, just gone 7 years. Yes. Don't ask the kids ages or birthdays, that we're still learning. But we actually met in Christian University in England. Rachel came across, is it like 11
when
years ago?
I was
ago?
18. Yeah, so I'm 28, so 10 years ago. Yeah,
that was, yeah, numbers. but basically, yeah, we met the first day of Christian University over in England, an organization called SWIM, which is Southwest Youth Ministries. A little bit different, but basically it was a distance learning course to do Christian studies and theology and Bible studies and youth work. I met her the first day there, and I told her I was going to marry her at the end of the first month, and here she is. Yeah. But it was more of an actual kind of a real God moment of introducing the person who you're meant to be with. And ever since then, we've been kind of doing youth ministry together. We've been kind of a team, and that's the way we like it. That's the way it works. I can handle the guys. She can handle the girls. You know, it's that type of situation. But that's pretty much how our outfits kind of worked out. And then we were blessed with two amazing boys. And then this opportunity to come across to the States once Rachel's visa was running out. And so we've been kind of in the last 2 years. I've been in kind of out of church work, kind of getting used to culture, getting used to the community, getting used to the American way of life. You know, it's a little bit different to England, but it's kind of given me that opportunity to get a read on how people work, get a read on how people live the fast-paced life, the slow-paced life, or, you know, whatever it is in the culture around us. So it's kind of given us that opportunity to be able to step back, breathe, get refreshed, and then be kind of pushed by God straight back into it again, you know. And it was actually Rachel found the job listing to this place on Craigslist, and we were praying about it. Hey, what's next? Hey, what's next? Hey, what's next? And I really feel like God's pushing us back into ministry. Already? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. And jump on church jobs online or Staff Finder or, you know, Christian openings or anything like that, all these different websites. And yeah, this one was one on Craigslist. So we jumped onto that, gave a call. It was a Don who answered as well. Excuse me, as well. And ever since then, it's been a real positive back and forth. So it's been a great journey. But we're going to kind of give you a little bit of backstory about how we came to faith, a little bit about our family life, a little bit about just us. If you have any other questions, we're kind of open books. You know, we want you guys to get whatever answers you need out of us to make you feel comfortable. But also, we just want to get to know you. You know, if we're going to be part of the family, we want to be part of the family. You know, so it's
nothing to hide.
Exactly, exactly. So, I'm actually from a non-Christian family. I was the first person in my family to come to Christ. I actually came to Christ quite late on. I was about 14 when I did, but
I was 4 and a half.
And Rach came from a Christian family who pastored at a youth camp down in Oregon, in Salem, Oregon there. And I was obviously in England, so completely different sides of the world there. Ever since then, 3 out of my 4 brothers have come to Christ, which is fantastic. So me and 2 others, and then we've got 1 straggler, but he'll get there. and then my mum actually has come to Christ as well, which is fantastic. And then, I mean, your family have just been kind of Christian throughout that, and it's been fantastic to kind of get that. Everyone's come to know Jesus and at least gets a glimpse of his grace and his mercy and, yeah, all that comes with, you know.
All right, I'll jump in. So our stories, there's a theme of kind of, there's been a lot of brokenness. So there's obviously a contrast of he was very anti-God and anti-Bible and, hey, you're not going to, like, I don't believe that. You're not, whatever you say, it's not going to change my mind. He was very against Christianity, where I grew up learning all the Bible stories and could tell you all of them, went to church, loved it, you know, totally a different background. And so my story is one of the brokenness actually came later. So the dysfunction, like we seemed like this perfect Christian family for so long. And my parents were married almost 24 years. And then the dysfunction came later in my later teen years. So we kind of, he has a story of brokenness and dysfunction and divorces throughout, you know, his mom's been through several. And he grew up with that. And then I kind of was thrown into it as a teenager of like, hey, this perfect little Christian world that we thought we lived in, all of this, all of a sudden these sins were being revealed. And it was like, wait, this is not the family I grew up in. So there's a lot of kind of contrast, but similarity between our stories. And the fact we are in Spokane Valley, is just a testament to God's redemption in my family. Because when I was 16, 17, both of my parents actually walked out. And they knew Jesus, they loved him, and they taught us, you know, everything that I knew. And sin got a hold of both of them in different ways. And I'm not going to get into the details, but a lot of brokenness and a lot of dysfunction. They're both remarried from that whole situation. And my mom lives in Spokane. And when we were married, my mom and I didn't speak for a year. You know, I didn't think I would ever have a relationship with either of my parents. And was it 2 days ago did we move? Roughly?
Yeah, Friday.
Yesterday or the day before? My dad moved us here with my twin brother and my stepmom. And my mom was there waiting at the duplex with dinner for us. So the work that God has done in my family to even bring us to Spokane to be near family is just a huge testament to his grace and redemption.
And that's kind of that's pretty much the gist of it. You know, my family, my mom was divorced 3 times. She's married 4 times. There's about 8 siblings across all marriages, but 4 of them are kind of the ones that I would count the closer ones, you know. The other ones, we get along with a mutual, but it's one of those things we all know that's kind of crazy. And it's just been kind of the opposite of that. You know, Rach was kind of a very sheltered lifestyle. Mine was very thrust into disorder, you know, that we did the partying stage when I was about 12, 13, 14, 15, you know, the drinking, the partying, stuff like that. Happy to get that out of my system. But it's one of those things of actually, you know, it was ways that kind of God saved me from ending up in prison, getting into serious street fights or anything like that. Part of my story as well is one of being one of the older two of boys in the family. And we had to kind of work jobs to pay rent. We had to stop people from breaking into our house and stealing stuff. We had to chase away people who are trying to come into the home to repossess stuff so that we could pay rent, things like that. And, you know, it was very much an unstable lifestyle to have. So it was very much the complete opposite. And then, I mean, now we've been able to have this opportunity to move closer to Rachel's family down here. But even just to have the whole family unit all in one room. On Friday, after we've just moved over, there's boxes everywhere. We've pulled some of the couches. We've got a couple of camping chairs out. And we're all just sat down having a meal together. And you think, whoa, God is incredible. You know, like, that's the only way I can explain it. You know, that wasn't my doing. That wasn't Rachel's doing. It wasn't our kids doing. Like, God has just whooshed in, basically, and taken our family and just kind of went, hey, guess what? You're going to coexist. it's going to happen, and I'm going to be the middle of it. So it's kind of incredible to have that opportunity, even to be in Spokane again, where we're going to have Rachel's family from Oregon coming over to visit, but being able to see Rachel's mom as well as us, and yeah, it's a real good thing.
And to encourage you guys, God has already used you to bless us and encourage us, and you are a part of that redemption story that he's been writing, because if it wasn't for this church, we wouldn't have even been looking in Spokane. So we're very thankful to you guys for how God has chosen to use you to bring us here, and we're just really, really excited about what he has planned for the youth ministry and for what he has planned for the gospel, you know, how he wants the gospel to go out amongst here and further, and we're just really excited.
So as far as background of youth ministry, I don't want you guys sitting there thinking, oh, you're just telling us that you guys come from bad backgrounds or good backgrounds. What's your experience, you know? I did go to school for youth ministry and theology, so I have a bachelor's degree in theology and in youth ministry. Rach finished a year short because she was pregnant with our oldest. So you have I always get this one mixed up.
They call it a diploma in England, but it's just under a bachelor's.
Yeah, so
just that final year.
Schooling-wise, we're good. But even even in the sense of I've been working with young people since the age of 14. As soon as I got out of my kind of party years, I was like, I need to kind of straighten out a little bit here. I need to get plugged in with something that's going to take my attention away from being on the streets and causing trouble. So I plugged into a local youth work and youth group situation in Andover, which is a very tiny space in England. Try and find it on the map. And basically was helping run 8 to 10 different youth groups throughout the week. We had about 10 different leaders, and we were just all helping run this situation where we're getting young people off the streets. But from the age of 14 up to 28, so at that point in time, like half of my life was youth ministry. So the last 2 years has been the only time I haven't worked in churches. And that's and it's been a struggle. You know, it's been a struggle because you go, this is not what I'm used to. But what it did do is allow me to open my eyes to the 8-to-5 jobs and actually living that lifestyle that a lot of people have to live. You know, not everyone's called to church ministry work. And it gave me a real eye-opening opportunity to know exactly what people are going through. For the last 2 years, I'd say to Rach, man, I'm really struggling. You know, this is not where I want to be, but I know this is where I'm meant to be. But it's not where I want to be. You know, it's kind of...
I think humbling.
Humbling. There you go. That's the word. Bring me down a couple of pegs. But yeah, it gave me that opportunity to, one, step back, breathe, understand, read the culture, but also understand exactly what other people are going through as well. Every single day when you're driving to work and you're stuck in a traffic jam and you're going, I've got to spend another half an hour in the car. You know, and yeah. So there's a good kind of space of time where I actually was stepping out of church ministry to be able to get step back in again, re-energized. Yeah. But as far as youth ministry goes, we've kind of worked on all different kind of stages. Together, we kind of helped run different youth groups, youth ministries, basically throughout the southwest of England through SWIM, or Southwest Youth Ministries. We'd move around to different churches every so often and basically either revamp the youth groups or build on them and kind of get them going again. And if there's nothing there, build something. If there was something there, keep it consistent and then build it up over time. You know, it's one of those things that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but what we're trying to do is basically just keep it centered around Jesus. You know, that's the way to do it. And that's the gist of our kind of idea here. You know, the gospel is kind of central to that. You know, young people need to know the gospel. Young people need to know that actually there's a savior. That means that they don't have to turn to drinking, to drugs, to sex, to fighting, to all of that, you know, or anything else. You know, there's a long list nowadays that you can kind of turn to instead of coming to Jesus. And actually, I embarrassingly say I turned to a lot of that before knowing Jesus. But then his grace and his mercy brought me to him, you know, and it gave me that opportunity to know actually there's something so much more than what I'm doing right now. And there's something so much more worthy and so much more, I don't even know, just better, you know. It's just better for my life to know Jesus than to not know Jesus. And that's, I feel like young people nowadays kind of need that. They need that little bit of direction. There's a lot more single parent families. There's a lot more dysfunction. There's a lot more hurting. You know, there's a lot more ways that people can get that kind of pain out. Instead of turning to something more healthy like Jesus, they turn to any of the things I just listed, you know. And it's trying to sow the correct seeds, you know, and going, actually, you don't need to turn to that. Like, look to your father, you know, look to your father. If you don't have a earthly father, I didn't have a good earthly father, and it took me a long time to address Jesus as father and God as father there. But actually, as soon as I got that in my mind, man, life-changing, life-changing, so...
And we know that young people nowadays don't want to open their Bibles, so we're really passionate about getting young people back into the Word and or for the first time of, hey, let's open this. Let's figure out what it says and how it does apply to your life and how, you know, the Lord does want to speak to you today as a teenager facing whatever you're facing. The Bible is alive and it is real and there is power. So we're really passionate about getting young people back in the Word or in the Word for the first time.
Yeah, and that's even, you know, technology, isn't it? It's kind of an issue nowadays anyway, how many times you're on your phone. And I kind of, I had a rule in my old youth group back in England. Hey, if you can prove to me you're reading your Bible on your phone and not playing a game, you can hold on to your phone. But if you know, it was kind of one of those moments I'd say a certain word, like phones up or something like that, and everyone have to turn their phone and show me that actually, hey, I'm not just texting my friend or tweeting or playing Angry Birds or whatever, but actually I'm reading the Bible here. And actually it's you know, it's a good way to do it. And that's not that's not me telling, hey, you have to do exactly what I'm saying, but this is me saying, hey, God's word is good. It needs to be read, it needs to be looked at, it needs to be given time, you need to digest it. You know, you can't just read it once and expect to know every single answer under the sun. You know, it's a journey. And we're excited to take that journey with young people. That's what we've been doing in every placement we've been so far. It's what we do with our kids every single night, you know, before bedtime, reading the Bible story. They ask 3 or 4 questions. Army asks another 10, you know. But it's that thing of actually the journey is worth it. You know, it might be a very slow-paced journey, but it's one of those ones that we are very willing to be committed to and have been committed to with other young people as well. So we kind of, I guess... kind of want to tell you that we're not looking at this as a, hey, in 3 years time we're gonna bounce. Like we want to be here for a long time, and if you guys will have us, we'll definitely we are very willing to commit, because you know, in England we moved every 3 years just because of the program situation, and then we've just spent another 2 years up in Everson, so right next to the Canadian border, just out on the outskirts of Bellingham. And actually, it's hard. You know, you're moving 2 kids, and you're moving your wife, and you're moving everything that you own, and you go, okay, the overseas move was fine, because you just kind of purged a lot.
Just bring it with you, and it'll be fine.
A bag of clothes and a guitar, and that's pretty much it, you know? But actually, all the other ones, you're moving your life, you know, and actually you're moving everything that comes with it, all the friends that you then lose, all the different... You know, we want to be able to stay and put down foundations, and our kids to know you guys, you know, as family. And that's kind of the place where we're at right now. You know, God's worked in our physical, like, blood family, but actually it's gotten to that place now. We're like, hey, we want to just settle, and we just want to be, you know, and we want our next move to be to a house where we're actually house here. You know, I want to be a house near here and want to be in this area. So, yeah. What do you think? Anything else you got to say?
Yeah. I would add to that brokenness and that dysfunction that we would be happy to share more of as we get to know you. Again, we have nothing to hide and we would be willing to answer any questions. But out of that has come our love for family. So that's really important. Out of that brokenness and the, hey, we just want family. We just, you know, we're trying to create a marriage by God's grace that, hey, you're going to look at us and we're going to stay together and we're going to stay committed and we want family around us, encouraging us and supporting us in that call of just marriage itself. But then family, it's that passion to be a part of a family-oriented church where, yeah, we have family outside of Spokane, but we have family. Yeah. And we see you guys as that. So it's been birthed out of that, the losses and the hurt and the hardship. And we truly believe that God is just rewriting this story and that our testimonies aren't even going to look the same here pretty soon. And that the stories we've told for all these years, we're not going to have to tell them anymore because of what God has done.
Yeah, and it's one of those, basically this opportunity we have right now, obviously we're not going to answer every single question you guys have, but if you do have like any burning questions, we want to be able to answer them, and we want to give you a little bit of glimpse if you feel like, hey, actually, talk to us about this. So if you do have anything you want to say, like put up your hand, and we'll kind of make sure I know we answer whatever you've got on your mind or on your heart that's kind of burning. But it's an amazing story to think actually from England to Spokane, then we moved from Spokane up to Bellingham, then we stayed in Bellingham for 2 years, then we've actually returned back to Spokane again. And that was, again, that was the finding of the feet, that was standing up on our own, that was understanding, hey, we can do this without having to take, like, family handouts, you know? Like, we can earn our keep here, we can be in America and live, you know, and that's fine. But actually, when it comes down to it, when God calls you to do something, you do it. You know, it's that simple. If you ask my oldest son, he'll say, if God says go, you say yes. You know,
otherwise because you end up Jonah said no, and we all know what happened to him.
And then there's the whole discussion about was it a whale or a big fish or whatever, you know. But still, it's one of those things that we want to be able to be as open as possible to you guys. And even to the young people as well, we're not going to be hiding away any kind of secrets from us. We want to be able to use what we've had as experience in our lives, you know, to be able to point people in the right direction, or even to say, hey, we've did this as well, this is how we got through it, or, you know. And
off of the back of that, we won't overshare. We plan to not glorify any of our sins and the things that we have done that we would say, hey, learn from us. We do not intend to use any of those things for our glorification, but to just point people back to the gospel. So we have that balance too.
Yeah, and it's I was going to say, just if anyone has any questions, or Josh, if you think we need to kind of hammer any other situation here, then please just direct us. Oh, I've got to go for it. Firstly, good question. Yeah. But secondly, I think it's one of those things that I can't really look at and be like, I want 500 young people in this church. You know, that would be the dream, right? But actually, I think 5 years' time, I want to see the young people who are going through a schooling system complete it whilst walking with Jesus, not be getting so stressed out and so tired and worn down by studying and you know, revising and things like that for exams, but actually be able to say, I'm doing this because Jesus has given me the opportunity to do so. So I think, like, that would be my, like, 5-year goal, 10-year goal, 500 people. You know? No, but again, it's that type of thing of actually, like, yeah, taking small steps, and then we'll get to this point where we can say, actually, this is the direction we're going, and that would be an outreach. That would be youth groups or meetings, or, you know, young people meeting up each week and doing Bible studies, prayer times, things like that, but also just community, you know, building a young people community where we can actually be open and honest and read the Bible together, pray about what's going on in your hearts and be completely open with one another. That's, you know, kind of mimicking the disciples in that way of actually, like, just journeying. So I mean, as much as, does that kind of give you an idea? Or is that, yeah, okay.
And the way we see it, if God's given us 13 young people, those are 13 young people that he has entrusted into our care. And we will disciple those 13, or if it, whatever number, if it's three, if it's, we've had some youth groups in England where I had four, and then they showed up every week, and it was just like, you spend as much time preparing for those four as you would for 100. So it's just whatever God gives us, we plan to give back to him and to just seek his guidance.
And it's the idea of creating a culture and a church place that young people feel welcomed into as well. You know, whatever's happened in the past, whatever's happening right now, hey, you can come in here and you can be, you know, you can just sit up in the top row if you want, or you can sit on the front row. It doesn't matter. You can be here. You can be who you are, but we will talk truth to you. We will love you. We will talk truth to you. We're not going to, you know, we're just going to show you what we, you know of Jesus and how Jesus has worked in our lives. So, yeah. And I think that's the kind of the hard thing, because when you think about, are you a numbers church or are you a heart church? And actually, because to me, the gospel is all about the heart. You know, it's reaching the heart. It's changing that young person. And it's not about the kind of filling every single seat in here with a young person. You know, it's that type of idea of the last placement I worked in was for 3 years. I baptized two people in those 3 years. It was incredible. But you think two people in 3 years is not a very good turnaround. But when you think about actually how far those young people came, and how far those young people have walked from a troubled lifestyle, single parent families, drinking, abuse, things like that, to actually being able to finish school, finish their grades, like get good grades to get into the next stage, and then they were baptized into Jesus's family. I'm like, that to me is worth every single hour that I poured into those young people. And that's kind of where I'm at. You know, if I can help that one person get through. For me, I had a bad experience when I went into a church in Andover. I had long hair. It was pretty much, down to my shoulders. I had ripped black jeans. I had just been in a fight, so I had a busted open cheek and stuff like that. Did not look very approachable whatsoever. all kind of dirty clothes from being roughed up. And I walked into a church and I said, I just need to talk to someone. And then the pastor turned to me and said, your type of person. No, we can't help your type of person. We can't help you here. And I said, are you kidding? Like, I'm a 13-year-old crying out for help. Like, my mom's just went through another divorce. I've just hit the rocks. I've literally just been beaten up, you know, and I'm just needing a little bit of help right now. I'm just needing a little bit of something. And they didn't reach out. So my ideal situation would be for a young person. No, I would not want them to be in that situation, but if they walked into here, to be able to say, actually, one of us, whoever, would be able to turn around and say, yeah, we will gladly talk to you. We will gladly help you. We will gladly help you feel welcomed but loved, you know, and that's kind of...
Because the gospel is for everyone, and that's our heart. The gospel is for everyone. And with that, you know, he's talking about the journey, the slower, steady pace. There has been a lot of that because that's a lot of England and a lot of Christianity over there. It's really, you know, the Christians, if you know they're Christians, because in England, you're not going to say you're a Christian if you aren't one. It's not the same as America where you get kind of the wishy-washy. It's a, I don't believe or I do believe. So a lot of it is hard going. But then we've also had instances where we've went to the soccer field and said, hey, can we kick a ball around with you? And then at halftime, we're sitting and praying with kids to accept Jesus. So there's both sides of it, of we're just open and excited about what God wants to do.
In England, we don't call it soccer, though, okay? Yeah. We call it football.
I was translating for you.
Let's just make sure that's clear, okay? But yeah, so that would be the kind of the idea of actually that outreach stuff of going to a basketball court or going to a school and supporting the local school teams and actually, hey, you got a young person from the youth group who goes and is involved in this team. We are going to go and visit and we're going to go and support and we're going to show them, hey, your church backs you. Hey, your family loves you and we're here to see you win, lose, whatever. Like we're supporting you. You know, we're journeying with you here, and that's it's a good thing to be able to do, you know, show support to young people in any situation they are. So, I think that's kind of the gist of what the approach that we'd like to take. But it's also one of those dreaming wise, you can, you know, God takes you in lots of different areas. So, yeah. Okay, so just under 3 years. So yeah, I've got a green card. I am legal.
He's legal.
It's good. It's good. I have to carry it on me all the time, but I'm allowed to be here. So yeah, I've been here just under 3 years. We moved to Spokane. We spent about a month in Spokane. Then we moved up to Bellingham for the rest of the time. Then we moved here on Friday. So
I was in England for 8 years, so our boys were both born there. They've lost their accents, unfortunately, but yeah.
But they are dual citizens as well, so they have the kind of two passport situation, which is kind of cool. Good question as well. So basically what's basically been my prayers at the moment has just been a prayer for freedom. And that sounds kind of funny because it's very like open, you know. But even for young people as well, like the freedom of actually not having to turn to things apart from Jesus. So as far as outreach goes, I see that as going to a field, going to any sports venue, going just to the mall and just kind of walking around and observing where people hang out. And then, skate parks is where I kind of started off in England. And that would be where I'd go there and just be able to, hey, who's that guy? And I'd be on my BMX and I'd show them a trick that I learned and fall over and embarrass myself. But it would then give me that opportunity to be like, oh, well, then you can show me how to do that. And you can, and it would get me on that level playing field. So as far as outreach goes, it's one of those, I will take time to observe and be like, hey, whereabouts are the young people? There's no point in hanging around on the corner where there's, you know, no young people there, where they're all on the field across, you know, the opposite side of, I don't know, the street or anything like that. So what I'm going to do is I like to kind of do a little bit of research, like on the floor research, walk around a little bit, get a feel for the area, where do the young people like to hang out, and actually how are they? How are they acting? What do they need? You know, if they're all just shivering around a bus stop or anything like that, or a shelter area, hey, I can go take them hot chocolate. You know, that's fine, you know, but it, you know, you can even start in that situation of smaller and build up to something else. And eventually I'd love to be able to walk into a school and just say, hey, I'm the youth pastor of Spokane Baptist Church. I'd love to be able to talk to your young people about blah, 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 you know, and then have that opportunity. So as far as outreach goes, I'm pretty much open in the sense of that. But it's just a prayerfully, I've been really trying to hammer into this whole, like, just the freedom type of thing. Even for us, being free to be able to do what God is asking us to do, but even for a young person to be able to step into that as well, how do I communicate that to people in Spokane? You know, it's completely different to Bellingham area. I know that. I'm aware of that. How do I communicate that better, you know? And even with my accent, do I speak too fast? Do I speak too, you know? But in all seriousness, it's that type of idea of actually, like, how do I do this the best way that they can actually understand the freedom that is in Christ? And yeah.
And then my prayer for the young people, what God's put on my heart is with the word, getting them into scripture and figuring out how to do that creatively, but not losing any of the, you know, not watering it down.
Yeah.
So figuring out that balance with a new group of, you know, we are coming to this saying, hey, we've been here, we've been here, we've been here, but we're not there. We're here.
Yeah.
So it's going to take us some time to get a feel for where the young people are at. I know at the harvest party, he was asking a couple of them, do you read your Bibles? And so just starting there, we've got a little bit of an indication of where some of them might be at, but we've got a long ways to go.
Yeah. Back row.
A good question.
Yeah, I like that question as well. Yeah. So, I love the idea of mentoring. You know, sticking a young person with an older person and just saying, hey, this person has more experience than you do. Mm-hmm. You know, simple as they do. They've lived more. You know, but actually, like, talk to them. Let them pray for you. Be friends. You know, be friendly. Be family. I've pretty much in every situation that I've kind of come into, I've tried to align myself up with someone who is older than me just to be able to turn around and say, I have no clue how to do this. How do I do this? Like, help me, to point me in the right direction. Even with this situation coming over to here, I had a gentleman called Mark in Bellingham, and I met with him a couple of times. But every Sunday, I'd come up to him and say, "Hey, God's really doing this in my heart right now. How do I help?" You know, help. But I think it's so important to be able to have that opportunity to give. One, the people in the church who may not feel like they can give. You know, hey, I just sit in the seat, and I just, you know, I'll listen, and I don't really want to get involved in anything else. But I can talk to someone. You know, and that's what you need to do. You know, for a young person to, one, feel welcomed and loved, but also have that little bit of journey that's outside of us. Mm-hmm. You know, they may want to talk to you about other things that's happening in their family life. For me, I didn't have a father figure, so I latched on to father figures, you know, and I kind of use them to mentor me to try to be as good a dad as I can be now. But that would be kind of one of the ways to do it. Otherwise, there was a lady, Janice, in our old church as well. She helped make the hot chocolates and the coffees and things like that for our old youth group back in Nottingham. And she would just be in the kitchen, but she would come in and smile on her face. She's so servant-hearted. It was incredible. And she'd make these amazing hot chocolates with, like, tons of whipped cream and marshmallows and things. The kids loved it, but they knew her. They knew they could talk to her and just joke around with her. And it made her feel involved, more alive, more loved, you know, part of the team. And it was fantastic. So I don't feel like age is a thing that can be a barrier as much. I feel like everyone can be used. And as long as you're willing, you know, I guess that's the thing. If you're willing to be used in a situation, I will probably find a place.
Gladly.
For
you. So,
Does anyone else have any other questions? Please.
He told us that the harvest party. Yeah. I know you, and we're like, maybe.
I was like, I don't think I've ever met you, Jerry. But it's, no, yeah, and that's an incredible thing to say. So I appreciate you, and you guys have already been a blessing to us as well. And we just want to be able to do that back to you guys as well. So yeah, I really thank you. Are you gonna let Tom speak? So this is kind of it's a good question to ask, because obviously there is a lot going on in the world, and there's a lot of ways that people can turn again apart from Jesus. There's a lot more religions, there's a lot more things people can turn to. One of the things that I love to do, and this is kind of a strange one, I love to research other religions. I love to know why people look to this one instead of this one. You know, I don't know why, but I just enjoy doing that. I've had an opportunity a couple of times, to be able to speak to people who are Muslim, to speak to people who are Jewish, to speak to people who are Scientologists, things like that. And you kind of go, actually, I love those conversations, because it just opens a little bit more of an idea of what they need and why they're looking in that direction. You know, why does this religion answer your question and not Jesus? You know, why is that? So I wouldn't say I've had a direct opportunity to be able to speak Jesus into young people's lives that are Muslim or anything like that. But it is something that, again, we've already said that the gospel's for everyone. If I have an opportunity to talk to someone, going to tell them the truth, you know. I'm going to tell them the truth, and I'm going to try and do that as lovingly as possible. You know, we're not here to burn bridges. We're here just to tell you exactly who Jesus is. And we've done that with Jehovah's Witnesses. We've done that with Scientologists. We've done that with a lot of people. One testament to that was we had a young man who was Mormon, who was going to a Mormon church, and he kept saying, but I'm a Christian as well, And I said, but do you believe this? And do you believe this? And that Jesus is this? And did you? Well, no, you know, but we're pretty much the same thing. 6 months down the line, he then started to come into our church. And I'm not saying that our church was the church, but I'm saying Jesus is Jesus, you know? And that's the thing. It's kind of one of those, it's the journey moment. You know, I'm not going to stand and shout on the streets with a megaphone, turn or burn, you know, or anything like that. But what I will do is I will gladly meet with you and have a coffee and sit in a coffee shop and we'll talk and I'll answer your questions and you can answer mine. And actually, you'll need to know that I'm not going to be changing my mind, but I can definitely try and change yours a little bit, you know, at least to show you a glimpse of what Jesus is. So that's, you know, I know it's not a direct answer to your question. I apologize for that, but that's kind of my insight to that situation. So
we have worked with a lot of teens. Like I've worked with a lot of young teen girls who have gotten pregnant. So we've had that. We've had one young person that we journeyed very closely with that would now call themselves transgender. Yeah. So we have a lot of those topics and those subjects. We've worked with the actual people going through those things at very young ages. I mean, these girls were getting pregnant long before I did.
It's heartbreaking. But it's the process of still allowing them to know the truth that Jesus loves them. You know, you may not know who you are. You may be physically changing who you are, but Jesus knows exactly who you are, and he loves you. He loves you, and he died for you. You know, it's you can only hammer it so many times, and I mean, it's not one of those things we're going to stop telling people, but it's a heartbreaking thing to see a young person physically changing themselves or putting themselves through, you know, all this scientific stuff that I cannot wrap my head around, but in that idea of actually, you don't know who you are, so you're physically changing yourself. If only you knew your creator, because he would be able to tell you exactly who you are, and he'd tell you exactly how precious and how valuable and how loved you are. Yeah. How do you approach that? Yeah, and the way we parent is we have two young boys, you know? That's the way we parent, and we're going to be obvious with that. You know, I'm not going to call them they, I'm not going to call them that, I'm going to call them boys, because that's who they are, that's who God created them to be. It doesn't mean, again, I'm not going to stand with the pitchfork and ready to chase them out of town or anything like that. I won't be that guy. What I will be is the guy that will approach them. Mm-hmm. I want to understand. I want to talk to them. I want to give them the time to be able to tell me their heart and to be able to give insight to why. You know, a lot of people go through these amazing changes. I can remember, and this is not on the same level at all, so please forgive me for using it, but it's one example in my life. I had dreadlocks. I had green dreadlocks, red dreadlocks, all these different colored dreadlocks. I would wear like big baggy jeans, go skateboarding every day, and it would be, that was who I was. And then one day I went, oh man, I am kind of tired. And I literally took some clippers and just took it all off, changed the way I dressed, changed the clothes, took out some of the piercings I had, and walked down the street, and people did not notice me. And the reason why I wanted to do that was because I physically wanted to hide. I wanted to change the way I looked because I was fed up with people treating me like dirt. I was fed up with people treating me like, hey, that's the guy from the broken family with all the problems. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to dress smarter. I'm going to look better. I'm going to shave my beard. I'm going to get rid of the dreadlocks. I'm going to, you know, not look so tatty and actually physically change the way I look to fit in a little bit better. And I can remember the brief freedom that gave me. But then afterwards, I was like, man, I just changed everything just to fit in. And I feel like that's how some young people now, you know, even, I'm not even going to say young people, but people, yeah, they change something so fast to just fit in, to just be part of the culture, be part of the new wave, be part of what it is, you know. And that, it's so heartbreaking. Again, it's heartbreaking. The word heartbreaking comes up so often because you go, man, if you just knew who you were and who you are made to be and who your creator was and is and still will be for you, it's life-changing. You know, it's as simple as that. You know, if you just knew where you came from, you'd know who you are, and you'd know that actually you don't have to change anything. You're amazing.
Yeah. So to answer your question, we would listen to them. We would try to love them and hear them out. But then we would have to, because of what God has called us to do. We would have to point them back to the gospel, however we could, but with grace and with understanding.
Okay. I'm so glad you guys got the chance to just kind of see a little bit of what I've seen and what my dad and Heather and my mom have seen here over the last couple of weeks. I just really think the Lord has been working in their lives in the same way that he's been working in this church. You know, we're a little bit of an unusual church. Just say amen to that. And so I just love that they have a little bit of an unusual story. Also, it's not necessarily typical. And I think that the Lord's just going to put that really together. So if you have any questions specifically, if you want to just kind of know what I'm thinking about on things, 1 o'clock after service, you're welcome to come. I'll hang out just kind of back there in the Pastor Tom Asbury room. You want to ask me any questions, but they'll be available too during lunch and everything like that.